This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Chaos Theory Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Philadelphia to Fresno, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How is everybody doing today on a humpity hump day edition of the DA? So glad you're with us.
Aw, the DA. I love the DA.
Big show coming up for you. We'll talk to Alabama linebacker Sean Dion Hamilton. One of the next in a long line of elite linebackers that have rolled through Alabama during Nick Saban's tenure. Where will Sean Dion Hamilton play in the NFL? With the draft now less than 2 weeks away, now a little over a week away, we'll talk to him coming up in the third hour of the show. We've got Tom Brady news. As Adam Schefter is reporting, Brady has not yet committed to playing in the upcoming NFL season. We'll tackle that in 15 minutes. Anthony Davis continues to do remarkable things in the NBA postseason. How about two road victories as a 6 seed? We'll talk about that coming up in 35 minutes from now. The Packers and Aaron Rodgers maybe not on the same page. The Capitals are not El Choco last night, shockingly. Otani magic goes poof, and much, much more. As always, you can hit us up at 855-212-4CBS on any of those topics or anything else you want to jump in on, 855-212-4227. You could always connect with us on Twitter as well. You know that, DA on CBS.
I'm on Twitter or Facebook right now.
And why not watch the simulcast? It's good and good for you. You can watch the digital simulcast in live, sparkling Technicolor every single morning, and it's mobile-friendly by going to watchda.com. Let us start up north in the six. We, the North, were in game number 2 against the Wizards. The Toronto Raptors didn't even really necessarily play their best basketball game, and they still won by double digits. And I know coming into the regular season, most people said, yeah, just another Raptors early exit. And then even after a dominant regular season coming into the postseason, naysayers said, yeah, but there's still the playoff Raptors that are hanging over them, and they'll likely be an early exit again. There's LeBron. There's a red-hot Sixers team. Toronto's going to bail early on the postseason again. You just watch. Well, we are 2 games into their postseason, and they look every bit as good as they did during the regular season. DeMar DeRozan adds 37 points last night, and Toronto gets a 131-19 victory. And here's my question. The Raptors are going to get out of this first-round series in no more than five games. They will take either one or both in D.C. and wrap it up by game number five, which means in round number two, they're going to get either the Cavaliers or the Pacers. And what we saw by Cleveland in game one against Indiana was startling, to say the least. Are we setting up for LeBron and the Cavaliers getting smoked by Toronto in the second round of the playoffs? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
DeRozan back, floater in the lane, got the roll. Man, that thing had four rims. Back rim, front rim, and down.
He's just grown as a player, and every year I've been with him, he just continues to get better. And I don't care. He's my friend. I don't care. He still sucks as a friend. But as a basketball player, he's really good and just getting better every single year. And, when I'm not shooting the ball like that, it doesn't matter. If I'm not shooting the ball well, the guy, he held it down for our team. 37 points. I mean, that's pretty good.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was Paul Jones on Raptors Radio on the call. That was Kyle Lowry taking a shot of the friendship of DeMar DeRozan, but not his game. As I mentioned, 37 points from DeRozan last night to go along with 5 rebounds and 4 assists, as Kyle Lowry had a poor shooting night, as he said. Only 3 of 10 from the field and just 13 points. But that was more than enough from DeRozan and company to get past the Wizards and the most points ever scored by a Raptors team in the playoffs, 130. And oh, by the way, the Sixers hit 130 as well in their game number one. And so I know that there's a lot of fans from my era that grew up on the NBA in the 80s and 90s and wanted to go back to physical, hard foul 80s and 90s basketball. Let me tell you this. I never saw 130 points scored in a playoff game growing up. Ever. Ever. So I would say that, yes, you can't get away with the physicality you once did, but sometimes we overdo the nostalgia on those teams and those games, because watching 130 twice already in the first week of the postseason, not bad. Not bad at all. But look, Toronto is legit good, and I have bought in on the Raps ever since midway through the regular season. Because the Raptors, I think, have finally come together to understand who they are. DeRozan and Lowry have lifted their game, specifically DeRozan. The bench is an elite bench. Dwayne Casey's a very good coach who knows so much about defense. They have an incredible home court advantage. Toronto is legit good. And I've said this for weeks now, and I'm becoming, as you know, a broken record, but I'll say it again. LeBron of the Cavaliers getting the 4 seed instead of the 3 seed is a world of difference. The 3 seed means if you get out of the first round, you take on a Celtics team that, even though they've looked very good in the first 2 games of their first round series against the Bucks, is doable. That's a doable challenge when they don't have Kyrie. Obviously, no Gordon Hayward. Marcus Smart is still held out. Clearly, that's a doable challenge. You're the 4 seed and you're the Cavs, and you get this Raptors team in the second round. The Cavaliers needed all of the leash they could get in the postseason because they've basically been a work in progress since day one. And certainly a reboot after the trade deadline, and then another reboot once Kevin Love became healthy. They needed that 3 seed. And the worst thing that ever happened to the Cavaliers is the red-hot win streak the Sixers went on at the end of the regular season. Because the Sixers rattled off 16 straight wins, they pushed past the Cavaliers into that 3 seed, and then the Sixers would get a broken Celtics team in the second round. Meantime, the Cavaliers are staring this Raptors team in the face. I think the Raptors are putting away this series quick in 4 or 5, and then we'll do away with LeBron of the Cavaliers as well in the second round. I think the Cavs will find a way to get past the Pacers. I don't think they'll find a way to get past this Raptors team, which is legitimately great. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. So much to get to this morning on the show. So much. This Brady story is a story, and then it's also not a story. I'll talk to you about what I mean by that coming up after the break. But Tom Brady has not committed to playing in the NFL this upcoming season, 2018. Now, I know that Patriots fans are on the never-ending defensive point your finger, it's always a witch hunt mentality. Because of Spygate, because of Deflategate, because so many people resent their success, because Belichick is certainly not cuddly and likable, because Tom Brady rides on camels on the beach, and so nobody can relate to that type of life. I know that Patriots fans bristle at the notion that anything could be wrong. You're out to get us. It's a witch hunt. You're blowing this out of proportion. But look, you can't ignore this. This has been the most tumultuous last 8 months in the 20-year reign of Belichick and Brady in New England. This thing started when Belichick took over in 2000. Granted, Brady was drafted in 2000, didn't play in 2000. That started in 2001. But since Belichick took over 19 years ago, we have never had the tumult. We have never had the turmoil. We have never had the never-ending speculation about what is going on and what is wrong that we have had over the last 8 months. So what is that all about? And why is Brady right now saying, I'm not committed to 2018 yet? I will discuss that and I will answer that question next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
And a happy humpity hump day to you. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And remember, if you're outside your normal listening area, perhaps you're on the go, you're traveling for work, whatever it is that you're doing and you're outside of where you normally are, or maybe your local affiliate doesn't carry us, shame on them. But remember, we're on Sirius XM. CBS Sports Radio, all 24 hours every single day available on the satellite. That would be Sirius XM 206. And the mothership connecting via satellite just seems right. Sirius XM 206. Time for your Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Be listening later on to the show when we'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So let's date back. Midway through the season, Seth Wickersham, ESPN the magazine, writes a piece about the inner turmoil and friction within the Patriots organization. That Brady is resentful of Bill Belichick for rubbing his personal trainer, Alex Guerrero, out of the equation. For Bill Belichick wagging his finger at teammates and saying, don't do the TB12 method. For drafting Jimmy Garoppolo, basically assuming Brady's going to fall off the cliff. And Brady doesn't like any of that. Brady outlasts, in maniacal form, outlasts Jimmy Garoppolo, forcing the Patriots to have to trade Garoppolo because basically Brady says, over my dead body, he will take my job, which is why Brady is one of the greatest competitors this sport has ever seen. at 37 years old, his successor was drafted, and he still resented it. And he said, I'll just outlast you, young buck. And so now we sit in the offseason after the Patriots told us there's no truth to this. Oh, this is just natural when people have a lot of years together. There's nothing to see here. What we have is Adam Schefter reporting that Tom Brady has not yet committed to playing this upcoming NFL season. One source tells Schefter, quote, my money would be on him playing football for the foreseeable future, but what goes on away from the football field, I don't know. Brady turns 41 in August. Sources tell ESPN he wants to spend more time with his family, and there are people around him who'd rather see him retire. Another person who knows Brady tells Schefter, quote, I believe he's going to be there. However, having said that, we're dealing with a human being. Things can change, but I do believe he will be playing. Brady is planning to spend more time this offseason, Schefter reports, with body coach Alex Guerrero. Brady will stay away from New England's off-season program, not expected to take part much, if at all. New England, in the meantime, is carrying on without him. The only other quarterback on the Patriots roster is Brian Hoyer. Okay, so what do we make of this? I would say 95 to 98% certainty Tom Brady is playing in 2018. I don't think Tom Brady is making a decision on retirement in April or May and June. I think Tom Brady makes that decision on retirement right after the season. I think this is a guy that knows when his competitive juices are flaring, when they're subsiding, and I think he would know that as soon as a season is done. I don't think it takes until April or May for him to feel out how his body is going to respond or what his mind is like. I think he's playing, but I think this is very strategic. This stuff doesn't come out of nowhere, especially from Schefter. This is Brady's people. This is Brady's camp. This might be Brady himself putting this out there as a shot across the bow at Belichick. The same way Gronk is doing it. These guys, and this is real, resent Belichick right now. They do. I told you all the reasons that he resents Belichick. I think that there's another wave of resentment for Belichick because of what happened with Malcolm Butler. But that is really a small snapshot. I don't think all of these guys suddenly go, we love being a Patriot, and then he didn't start Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl, and now I don't like it. No, I think this is a culmination. Let's take Brady out of it. I talked about this at length yesterday's show. Players not liking the lack of fun or individuality, the do your job, head down, devalue the player, it's all about the team. Players since Belichick has started haven't liked that mentality. Players in Cleveland didn't like that mentality. Watch any retrospective from the New York Giants' tenure of Belichick as a defensive coordinator. Members of the Giants defense resented Belichick then. Belichick has always had this gruff, cold, detached exterior, which some guys just don't get along with. But when you're in New England and you go to the Super Bowl every other year, you A, sound stupid complaining because you're winning. So what are you going to complain about? If you don't like it, somebody else loves it because you're winning. And B, if Brady's bought in, you certainly got to be bought in or else you look like a bozo. But now Brady's not bought in. And that changes everything. This is a message. And I think this, for the first time, is a real pushback from the locker room as a whole about the way Belichick has done things. This has happened in small doses along the way. Randy Moss, Adalius Thomas, maybe even Lawyer Malloy. Well, we just get rid of those guys. Wes Welker, Logan Mankins. We can just get rid of those guys. You can't just get rid of Tom Brady. Brady knows that. And so Gronk is also one of those untouchables. Now, a lot less so than Brady, because the Patriots have bet on Brady by trading away Jimmy Garoppolo. But when you have Gronk and Brady, the two best players of the team, pushing back, this is significant. And when Danny Amendola and Nate Solder and Deion Lewis all go somewhere else, and they all speak about how it was tough and it was hard and they were looking for more freedom or more touches or more this or more that or more money, this is a culmination of everything, and it can't last forever. Something right now is eroding, and the most important piece of that is Tom Brady. Because if Brady is bought in, everybody else basically has to shut up. But when Brady's not bought in, he fuels everybody else's confidence that their resentment or their discomfort or what they feel is validated. Look, if Danny Amendola is sitting there going, man, I'm going across the middle, getting my head smacked around. I'm catching first downs in the middle of traffic all the time. I'm playing hurt. I'm coming up big in the postseason. I'm a huge part of a Super Bowl champion, two Super Bowl champions. I just want to get paid from the front office. I just don't think I'm being valued here. If Brady goes, yeah, sorry, I'll be at off-season conditioning, man. I got to work my butt off. What's Amendola going to say? But if Brady goes, yeah, you know what? Screw Bill. Screw Bill. Then suddenly Amendola feels totally validated in his gripe. That's what is happening here. This is Brady trying to send a message to Bill. I don't like the way this is going around here. And I don't know if Bill has changed. I think Brady has changed. I don't know if Bill has changed. But I'll tell you this. Every coach that was a great all-time coach in NFL history at some point near the end lost touch with the locker room or lost touch with the team on the field. Vince Lombardi might have been the only guy, because he walks off as a Super Bowl champion and retires after Super Bowl II. He, of course, comes back in Washington for a season, but essentially walks off the field before it could get bad. Tom Landry, every Cowboys fan can tell you, 86, 87, 88, it's not pretty. Chuck Knoll, every Steelers fan can tell you, 87, 88, 89, not pretty. You can go down the list of great head coaches. Bill Walsh, he walks away in 1988 after the Super Bowl. But I'll tell you this, he knew he was losing it, because in 1988, they were 10-6, and there was a chance they were going to miss the playoffs. And in 87, they had had a bad playoff loss to the Vikings. In 86, they got pounded by the Giants 49-3. This is a team that Bill Walsh had. He got out, and he said he got out a little too soon in retrospect, but he knew he was wound down, ground down, was losing touch. It happens to every great head coach ever, ever. Look at Tom Coughlin. At the end of his run, Coughlin going 6-10, 5-11, 4-12. It happens to all the greats. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back here on the show, Anthony Davis and the Pelicans take two on the road as the sixth seed. And how about Jrue Holiday last night? How far can they carry the Pelicans? DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio, and standing by after a very disturbing sneeze fit, which is not only gross, but also startling.
Yeah, I didn't hear anybody say bless you or God bless you or anything like that.
Bless you.
Gesundheit. Thank you, Pete.
I was too just horrified.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. That kind of came out of nowhere.
Was that five sneezes?
At least four, maybe five. I thought I was done. There were two more left. Yeah.
God.
I apologize. That was rude of me.
I thought something dropped off like the ceiling.
Seriously. Can you sneeze outside before you come in here?
I didn't have to. I've been outside for 29 minutes without a problem in the world. I came in here and boom, maybe there is some things floating around in this little spaceship of yours.
Disgusting. Yeah. Really, truly reprehensible.
Someone's got to be if Sean's right here.
Oh, God.
Open now for brunch.
And I want mango habanero. I want to eat mango habanero wings after the fight.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's only 9:40 a.m. Eastern time here on the East Coast, but I could use mango habanero wings as well. Where's my mango habanero?
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Brand new Nomad is out, my digital travel series. I headed to a place that sneakerheads would love called Kith, which is one of these joints where sneakerheads line up at all hours of the night, all hours of the morning to get inside to get the brand new Yeezys or KD 720s or I don't even know because I'm not in that world, but I know it's a thing. Plus, this place not only has all the badass sneakers that you can't find anywhere else, all these collectible shoes that cost thousands of dollars, but they also have a cereal bar.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
How about an old school cereal bar where all of the sugary treats of your youth are in one place? And you can mix and match them with candy toppings and either put it on ice cream or milk. So I went in on this. I got the sugariest, most colorful, most crazy combo I could think of after I took in all these sneakers that I can't afford. So check it out. That's this week's episode of Nomad, my digital travel series. The easiest way for you to check it out would be either to search my name and Nomad, Damon Nomad, backwards, and find the channel and just subscribe. And so you get notifications every time there's a brand new episode. Also, I'll post it on Facebook and tweet it out as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's go. Also, we should have a side B of a PGP posted later on today. So I know we taped side A yesterday of the Permission Granted podcast. Pete the Body Bilotti, will we have a side B today to post?
Yes, we will. Be myself and Andrew Bogish.
Very good. Okay, very good. Mraz is out for family reasons today. 855-212-4CBS. That's your toll-free line. 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Paul tweets, DA, everybody better get used to Drake courtside because the Raptors are finally breaking through. Yeah, they are. Yep. And I know this is only the 1-8 matchup, but it would be so Raptors to lose one of the first two to the 8 seed, to come out of the blocks and look lethargic, and look lost, and look bored, but instead it's been anything but. And last night, 37 from DeMar DeRozan. They take a 2-0 series lead. They'll either close in Washington, or they'll take one of two in my mind, then come back to close in Game 5, and then they'll have either the Pacers or the Cavaliers waiting in the second round. They'll be waiting for either the Pacers or the Cavaliers, and I think they'll beat either one of those teams. This Raptors team is legit now. If we get to a Raptors-Sixers Eastern Finals or a Raptors-Celtics Eastern Finals, could be good theater. But I do believe this Raptors team feels different, is different than previous incarnations which have flamed out in the playoffs. Last night, Anthony Davis, Jrue Holiday, and the boys take a second game on the road in Portland.
Pelicans lead by two. Holiday yet to move. Now starts walking the dribble towards Zach Collins. Steps into a three. Bang! Got it! Jrue Holiday.
That's a little too much
30
sauce.
30 points.
That's a little too much sauce.
Sean Kelly and the Pelicans Radio Network on the call. Pels 111, Blazers 102. And the Pelicans now have a 2-0 series lead going back home for two in Game 3 and Game 4 in New Orleans, and then a potential Game 6 at home as well. So three cracks to get two wins to move on to the second round as a 6th seed. So let's start here. The Blazers were always a little overseeded, only because I don't think Portland ever had any realistic designs on winning an NBA championship. For the Blazers, the regular season was a hell of an accomplishment. But you couldn't really put them in the category of the Warriors or the Rockets. And heck, I don't know if you could put them in the category of even a team like Oklahoma City, which had star power all over it, but just couldn't seem to put it together consistently enough this regular season. Damian Lillard is a superstar, and I absolutely love watching him play. And the Blazers were a fun team, a great team, an enthusiastic team all season long. And Lillard and McCollum clearly are one of the most fascinating backcourts we have in all of basketball. And they're balanced, and they're well-coached, and they're a really solid team. But they were never an elite team to where as a 3 seed you felt like, okay, we'll see in the second round, no ifs, ands, or buts, or really have a chance for an NBA championship. The Pelicans are the poison pill. Because the Pelicans, while they're a 6 seed, had to, middle of the season, reboot itself after the injury to Boogie Cousins. And they're the poison pill in the playoffs because they have Anthony Davis, who's an MVP caliber player, who is just a matchup nightmare for anybody that tries to match up against him. Anthony Davis had a really good game last night. He had an elite game in Game 1. But he didn't need to have an elite game in Game 2 because Jrue Holiday had 33 points and 9 dimes. Rajon Rondo, who's a head case if we've ever seen one, has a little playoff Rondo cooking right now. He always seemed to rise to the occasion in the spring. He had 16 points last night and 10 boards and 9 assists. Just a dime short of a triple-double. Anthony Davis goes for 22-17 or 22-13. And it says something about the Pelicans that they didn't need him to have a night like he did in Game 1 to win on the road. The Pelicans are the poison pill because there just is no night-in, night-out eraser for Anthony Davis. And if you get anything surrounding AD, the Pels are dangerous. And I think that Anthony Davis is singularly focused to win at least a playoff series this year because he hasn't had a chance to do that yet. And he knows he gets overlooked all the time as a superstar in this league because of where he plays and because they never do anything in the postseason. And he is hell-bent on changing that. We better pay attention to it. I know these games are on late for a lot of people on the East Coast. A lot of people haven't stayed up to watch this Pelicans-Blazers series. Look, the Pelicans is a 6 seed. Moving on, taking on the Warriors in the second round, perhaps. I'm not sure they can survive that, but AD would be a miserable matchup for Golden State as well. Now, he might go for 35 and 15 every single night, and the Warriors might still win by double digits. But he is doing things that superstars of lore have done. One man in a postseason series snatching it and saying, "This is my moment." Pelicans take 2 on the road as the 6 seed and have a chance to sweep with 2 at home in the venerable Smoothie King Center.
Puffiness with sodium.
855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Jim tweets, D.A., Mraz needs to be back on suicide watch over the Yankees' latest beatdown by the Marlins. The Marlins? Better put away all the sharp objects in the studio. John Sterling's strikeout call. Giancarlo swings and misses. Spiso Farlo. Performance below Parlo.
Non si può stoparlo.
Driving me to drink at the Barlo. Mamma mia.
Puffiness with sodium.
Stoparlo.
Now, is it a coincidence that after last night's beatdown of the hands of the pukey Marlins and talk of Aaron Boone dropping Giancarlo in the order, Mraz suddenly takes off? Mraz is nowhere to be seen around here at the office?
That's baseball.
Seems fishy to me.
And you know, Susan, once upon a time, Jackie Robinson struck out 291 times his entire 10-year career. Giancarlo's on pace to strike out 289 this season. The pitch.
Non si può stoparlo.
Well, John, I saw number 42 in theaters, and it was amazing.
And you know, Susan, this is getting ugly before it gets pretty. Did I ever tell you about my hairdresser in Hoboken?
It is.
She's pretty. The Yankees are not right now. The pitch in the dirt, 3-2.
I mean, Giancarlo Stanton is getting paid $300 million. He's getting dropped in the order. He's getting dropped in the order, getting paid $300 million. This is a man right now that clearly is hearing it from the Boo Birds because he's hitting way worse at home than he is on the road. And he knows the boos are coming, and he knows the Bronx cheers are out, and he knows the bleacher creatures can't stand him because he's never done anything for them. It's going to be a long career if Giancarlo Stanton can't take the Boo Birds at home. And this all started when Mraz booed him in the home opener. It all started then.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
Look, there's a long ways to go for Giancarlo this season, let alone in his Yankees career. But I'll say this. There have been multiple players who have signed in New York thinking, it was great. I'm going to New York. I'm getting all of this money. I'm playing with the big guys in the big media market where expectations are big. And they think it's great. And then they realize they're not getting cheered by their hometown anymore. And they don't have only two beat writers around them anymore. And the back pages are assailing them every day. And they realize, oh, crap, what did I get myself into? This has happened time and time again. Let's go through the list. Bobby Bonilla, 1992, was safely protected in the middle of the Pirates' order behind Barry Bonds or ahead of Barry Bonds and could play in Pittsburgh. Everything was good. I'm going to come back and you can't wipe this smile off my face. Within a month, he was wearing earplugs at the plate. Earplugs! Because he couldn't take the boos. Clearly a disaster. Fast forward. Randy Johnson. It was great in Arizona. It was great in Houston. It was great in Seattle. He comes to New York. He's a Yankee. Suddenly the pressure is on. Cameras are following him down the street. He's not performing well. And he hates it. He can't stand it. He wants out. Jason Bay. It's great in Boston. I'm everybody's favorite story. Then I sign a huge deal in New York. Expectations through the roof. And now I can't hit a curveball. Boo Birds come out. Back pages slice and dice him. He's never the same. Total flame out. Robbie Alomar, it's all good in Cleveland. It's all good in Toronto. Comes to New York, resents, is bitter at the criticism. Can't stand it. Total flame out. It has happened time and time and time and time and time again. Danny Tartable, Kansas City, it's great. Hitting home runs. I'm a hero around here. I got two beat reporters and 10,000 people in the stands. In New York, a lot of pressure. Steinbrenner's up my butt. Boo birds come out. Flame out. It's a long season for Giancarlo, but it's gotten off to a terrible start. I mean, they scored 12 runs the other night. He's the only guy that was hitless in the lineup. When we come back, Packers are making Rodgers aggravated.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.